Good afternoon. You know, my brother Scott here is always a blessing to me. We sat down there, the rain starts coming down, and he puts his jacket over our Bibles. And I said, well, thank you, brother, because I don't want to water the word of God down today, so I want to keep it strong. And my brother took care of that for us today. Now, I could say turn to Ezekiel 33, verse 11, but we're going to get there. We're going to be moving around in the Bible so much today, you're going to think you have to pay a taxi fare to get around in your book today, but you won't have to. But my question today is, who cares if people die and go to hell? Now, before you folks that don't know me, if you're new to Firm Foundation, and just so you don't think that your pastor didn't invite a liberal, modern, apostate preacher in today, you'll see that we're going to go in the right direction on this. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." All. You know, it wouldn't be very fun if God forced everybody to be saved. We, as human beings, are all free moral agents, and we all have to make our own decisions when it comes to salvation. God wants us to be saved, but he also wants us to want to be saved. And just in case you're wondering, there are some individuals that care if people die and go to hell. I saw Everett, he was the only one in the crowd that raised his hand when I said, who cares if people die and go to hell? Everett raises his hand. Praise the Lord, brother. But firstly, besides Everett, God the Father cares. Right here in Ezekiel 33:11, Bible says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." That the wicked turn from his way and live. How about John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I share a quick testimony. A friend of mine named Stan Skriloff, he's a member of the International Board of Jewish Missions. He was a Jewish man. When he was young, living in Brooklyn, New York, he was an Orthodox Jew. He used to love the New York Yankees. But being an Orthodox Jew, his parents says, "You don't have time for baseball. You know, you got to keep the house. We got to keep the house kosher. You got to pray. There are all things that Jews got to do." But he used to sneak away, disobedient. He'd get on the train and go down to Yankee Stadium. And he'd get off there and he'd go and watch the Yankees. Well, one day he was coming back, first of all, one day, and this Gentile lady grabs him, says, "How come you Jews don't believe in the Lamb of God?" And he just pulls away from her and runs. But this Lamb of God kept going through his brain. Comes back one day down to the Yankees game. He gets off. He realized he messed up the schedule. There is no Yankees game. But there's a big sign at Yankee Stadium. It says, "Billy Graham, 7 p.m. tonight. Come hear about the Lamb of God." So now it's got his attention. Besides, he was an Orthodox Jew. He saw that it was free. He said, "This is for me." And he went in, come invitation time. He starts to go up, but he looks around. He sees nothing but Gentiles. So he asked one of the people at the front, he says, "Hey, am I supposed to be here? All I see is Gentiles." And he pulled out John 3:16. He showed him. He says, "Whosoever." He says, "You're one of those whosoever's." And he got saved that day. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us." God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Two verses later in verse 10, it says, "While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son." Number two, God the Son cares. God the Son cares. Over in Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 36, says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Jesus had compassion for lost folks. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus cares about lost sinners. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 3. This is the goodwill and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. The Lord wants all men. Jesus Christ wants all men to be saved. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. If Jesus Christ didn't care about lost people going to hell, he wouldn't have given his life on Calvary for you and for me. In John chapter 4, you don't have to turn there. But while his disciples were out getting physical food, Jesus was dealing with the soul of a lost Samaritan woman. Samaritans who had no dealings with the Jews, Jesus was telling her who he was. In John 4:34, he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. The will of his Father was that Jesus would go to the cross and die for sinners and that we would believe on him. Jesus Christ cared for lost souls. God the Holy Spirit cares that people are dying and going to hell. Over in John chapter 3, starting in verse 5, Bible says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Holy Spirit cares that people are dying and going to hell because he has a part in the plan of salvation. One of his ministries is the regeneration of man's sinful heart. And then over in John chapter 16, we see the Holy Spirit again, starting in verse 7, where it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit is the biggest soul winner that the world has ever known. He's won more souls to the Lord than anybody because he has a part in everybody's salvation. He's the great convictor and the great convincer. You know what, friends, in point number 4, I wrote down here that Bible believers should care that people are dying and going to hell. Everett, thank you for putting your hand up today, young man. That ought to be the attitude of everybody. I don't want to see folks die and go to hell. Turn with me, if you would, over to John, not John, Romans. Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, this former Pharisee, in chapter 9, verse 1, says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. There are only two people in the Bible that would have traded their salvation for their people. One was Paul and one was Moses. God says, that's okay. I'm not. He told Moses that. He goes, no. He goes, I'll blot out who I want to blot out. But the attitude that those two men had, I don't know about you, friends, I wouldn't want to give them all my salvation for anything. But the attitude of those two men was that they would have forfeited that to see their own people saved. Paul is the same guy who in Romans chapter 1 said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. And then over here in Romans 10 verse 1, Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Right now, that's a pretty long unanswered prayer. We've seen Jewish people saved through the years, maybe thousands or more. But right now, Israel corporately is not saved. They're away from God. Paul is praying that they'd be saved. Paul passed away a long time ago, his prayer not being answered. But one day, Jesus Christ is going to descend with a shout and with the trump of God, and the church is leaving. And when the church leaves, the focus is off the church. We're going from preaching the gospel of the grace of God to going back to preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. And there'll be 144,000 Jewish evangelists who'll be out preaching the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And there'll be a great revival coming through the nation of Israel. And finally, Paul's prayer will be answered. You know what? I've seen some Bible believers, not in this crowd, but I've seen Bible believers who don't really care if people die and go to hell. As a matter of fact, I've seen quite a few of them that they don't care that daily there are about 160,000 people dying worldwide. And guess what? Most of them are dying and going to hell. Forgive me, I haven't looked at my watch, but I just got a hold of the time. Okay, I'm getting there. But you know what? Some folks, some lost folks, even have more of a desire to see folks saved than save folks. Over in Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 27, this rich man dies and goes to hell. And in hell, he finally gets a desire to see lost folks saved. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I don't know of any dead folks coming back alive recently, friends, but we got what he's talking about right here. And we need to share it with lost and dying folks because they're on their way to hell. And my question for you today is, do you care? Do you care that people are dying and going to hell? Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Give us the great attitude of what a soul winner ought to be. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Acts 20, verse 26, Paul the Apostle says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." What he's saying is, there hasn't been a person that I haven't come across that I haven't shared the gospel with. He's pure from the blood. He's clean from the blood of all men. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says this, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Friends, if we spent less time worrying about whether the Red Sox are going to win a ball game, or whether your 401k is doing better than it was last week, or whether the streets in Wisconsin are going to get paved, then what the main topic ought to be is that people are dying and going to hell every day, and yet Bible-believing Christians sit by and let nothing happen. See ya, you're dropping into hell. Guess what? I'm not. I'm saved. Well, while the Lord has you here, get serious about soul winning. You see, I cut this thing on, and I'll finish with this. I was just reading the Sword of the Lord the other day, and I just saw this. It was a thing on revival. I said, wow, we got revival meetings on Saturday. Revival means a return to holy living. Separate yourself from the world. Revival means conviction. We have lost our convictions about sin, about righteousness, about winning the lost, and about the local church. Sunday morning, come to church. Whenever the doors are open, my first pastor, Pastor Tom Bonifield, used to say that. He goes, be in church when the doors are open. Whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, whenever it is, if the doors are open, get into church. Revival means compassion for souls and seeking to win people to the Savior. Praise God, we are here because He loved us so much that He gave His Son to die for us on the cross. That is compassion. Revival means caring for souls, weeping over sinners, and hungering to see God move. I remember going to prayer meetings where we used to all lay on the floor and we would pray and we would cry and weep and cry to God, and we would see people get saved. Where have those meetings gone to? It's time for God's people to pray for revival. Put it on your prayer list. Let that revival start with you, each and every one of us in our own hearts. Keep in mind that you are just as important as the next Christian when it comes to getting right with God to bring revival, and it's got to start in your own heart. If you are not right, remember this as I close, if you are not right with God and you are a member of a local church, it may be because of you that the thing fails. So friends, think about it, get serious about these things, get right with God, and pray that He will send revival to our churches, revival in our hearts, and then the Holy Spirit will go across this land and bring an awakening among the dead and lost folks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We do ask, Lord, You bring us the revival fires into our hearts. Revive us again, Lord. Do a great work today. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.